Well, the story goes, it's the university's Christian Union's mission week, and the Christian Union had a plan, the whole week of events, so that fellow students could know the good news of Jesus. They booked a famous evangelist to come and speak for the week, and it was all booked, they had lots of events planned. They turn up Monday morning, and the CU committee are there with their evangelist, and they say, let's pray for the week. And they're about to start praying. The evangelist turns around and says, I've got something to say to you. And they go, oh yeah, fine, what have you got to say? He goes, I just want to say, I've never persuaded anyone to become a Christian. I've never converted anyone. At this point, the CU committee is slightly looking at each other, going, who's this guy I've invited? He was well recommended. He's been done lots of mission weeks all over the country. Why has he persuaded no one to become a Christian? At this point, the evangelist, seeing their slightly puzzled faces, said this, I have never converted anyone, but God has converted many. Let's pray. It's a story that sticks in my head because it was told at the beginning of the mission week I did when I was a student. It's a reminder, isn't it, that nobody becomes a Christian. We're going to see this from John's Gospel today, without the work of the Holy Spirit. That miracle of someone turning from the way of the world to Jesus Christ in faith is a work that God does alone. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's why in the book of Acts, the church had to wait till the Spirit was given before they could get on with the task of taking the good news of Jesus to the world. Without the work of the Spirit, their labours would have been in vain. And so it's into that context we want to think about the role of the Spirit. What does the Spirit do as we engage in this task of telling the good news of Jesus to our world? Well, as we begin, I just want to sort of make a couple of introductory comments. It's firstly worth remembering that the work of the Spirit is never independent of the work of the Word of God. The Word and the Spirit always work together. If you read the book of Acts, which I just referred to, it's clear, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is given, but throughout the book of Acts, it's the word that goes out in the power of the Spirit. The two work together. So as we teach the Bible here on a Sunday, as we do evangelistic events, as we share with people we know, our friends, family, colleagues, as we share the word of God, we need the Spirit of God to work through us. It's the Spirit's word to bring deep conviction of the truths of the Word of God. But let's not split them. They work together, Word and Spirit. But particularly this morning, I want to think about what is the role of the Holy Spirit in that dynamic. And my hope and prayer this morning as we come to John 16 is that we just have greater clarity about what the Spirit's doing. And then that would reshape the way we do evangelism, particularly as we head on into Christmas and all our different events lined up, because this is a great opportunity, isn't it, in our culture still, to speak of Jesus. So let's jump in and have a look at John chapter 16. And we're in John's Gospel. Of course, it's one of the four accounts of Jesus' life. It's a book broadly of two halves. This is sort of a big generalisation. Jesus comes from heaven to earth to reveal the Father. Part one of John's Gospel. Part two, he goes from earth to heaven to open the way to the Father. We're in chapter 16, we're in the second half. Jesus is on his way to the cross, through which he'll open the way for any one of us to be forgiven and have a relationship with God. Chapter 16, Jesus is with his now 11 disciples gathered in an upper room. He's just about to go out to be arrested, and Jesus is giving his final teaching. If you've got a Bible open, you'll see verse 6, that his disciples are struggling. Verse 6 of chapter 16, rather, you are filled with grief. They're worried. Jesus is about to go. What's life going to be like with his departure? And it's into that that we have our reading today. Let me just read it again. Jesus says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So let's just start with the first very simple point this morning. We'll just come up. Jesus is going, but the Holy Spirit is coming. And we see that, don't we? Verse 7. He says, it's good, Jesus says, for me to go. Because as Jesus goes to the cross to open the way for us to have a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit then comes. The Spirit will continue the work that Jesus has begun. The Spirit will enable people everywhere to come to know Jesus and the life that he gives. So the first thing is Jesus leads. The Spirit comes to continue Jesus' work. And that is a good thing. But what will the Holy Spirit do? So there's the second thing. The Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong. Now, of course, the word here is advocate. That is, in John's Gospel, a word for the Holy Spirit. And he's going to convict the world of three things, of which the world, that's the people here, have got wrong. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, the word in our text is translated as, he will prove the world wrong. The Greek word here has a sort of sense of exposing, or bringing out into the open. So in other words, the Holy Spirit will bring out into the open, exposing people's hearts, their wrong thinking. And this is a strong theme in John's Gospel. And we see that in John chapter 3. Let me just pick up. Here's a verse Jesus speaking earlier on in his Gospel. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. We have an idea. The world is in darkness because the world loves anything opposed to God. But Jesus is the light. And he comes in, and as a light he exposes the darkness, because that's what light does. And that word exposer is the same one we have in John 16. This sense of, it will prove the world wrong, it will expose its wrong thinking. How many of you will be aware? For 8 years, I was a solicitor. I worked in both the city and in the West End, specialising in planning and environmental law. Didn't do a lot of corporate work, but occasionally one of the corporate team would ring you up and go, oh, we're acting for someone, they're buying a company and it's got lots of factories or something. Can you check they've got all their permits they need? And it usually was always a Friday afternoon, and they send you a whole pile of papers and go, can you have a look at them and tell us what you think? Most of the time they're okay, but once or twice you just saw a shocker. This would be a business that was specialising in some sort of dirty industry, and they would have no consent. You start looking at the papers and you realise there's enforcement action all over. It's kind of like the lawyer's light had been shone into the darkness, and you write your report accordingly. Jesus says, we live in darkness, and the Holy Spirit comes and it breaks in and brings light into our dark thinking. And particularly in relation to sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, if you read these verses and think they're quite complicated, that's fair comment. You pick up a commentary this week, it's got five options for how to understand them, and then the author gives their sixth. But our doctrine of the clarity of Scripture means the problem's not with the text, it's with us, so we work hard. So if it feels like this is a bit of hard work this morning, it is, but let's get stuck in, because it's important truth for us to learn. Firstly, we're going to learn about the Holy Spirit proving the world to be wrong about sin, and particularly unbelief in Jesus. What is Jesus saying here? Well, John's Gospel is a book where people are called to believe in Jesus. The whole book is calling people to believe in Jesus and have life in his name. So I taught John's Gospel as part of our summer campus in the summer, and we were calling the young people to believe in Jesus and have life in his name. And therefore, those who are opposed to God are those who do not believe in Jesus. So John 3, verse 36 puts it like this. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. The call is to believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life, and if you don't, well, you face God's eternal wrath. So what will the Holy Spirit do? It will convict of the sin of not believing in Jesus. Now, if you're like me, you've probably got many friends who do not believe in Jesus. And the great news is the Holy Spirit will come and it will prove that they are wrong in that belief. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that, I think, is good news. Tracy and I have got some really strong atheistic friends, people who are adamant that Jesus did not exist. They're adamant they do not believe in Jesus. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come and prove the world wrong in relation to their unbelief in Jesus. It's not our job to do that. The Holy Spirit will come and take people who don't believe and enable them to believe. The Spirit gives us confidence, doesn't it, in our evangelistic endeavours. So that's sin. It will prove the world to be wrong about sin, and particularly their unbelief in Jesus. Secondly, verse 10, about righteousness. Verse 10, about righteousness, because Jesus says, because I am going to the Father where you can no longer, where you can see me no longer. Now, interestingly, this is actually the only time in John's Gospel the word righteousness is used. But it seems to me it's deliberate to contrast righteousness, that moral perfection. I think the idea is we're coming back to our light and darkness thing. See, Jesus is the light. He reveals righteousness. So as he walks about, he's revealing righteousness to the world. And the world, it's clear, is not righteous. It doesn't love God. It doesn't love other people. It is unrighteous. It lives in darkness. Here's another verse, John 7, verse 7. Jesus says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. Jesus, as he's there, the light, shows up the world's unrighteousness. So it's good that the Holy Spirit comes, because once Jesus is gone, who's going to be the light? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come and do the same thing. He's going to come and show people that they are not good. They are not righteous. That they live in darkness and need forgiveness. And again, this is critical, isn't it, in our culture? I was at a curate's training session the other day at the North Middlesex Hospital. We had a good day, actually, about chaplaincy and the role of chaplains in hospital. But the paediatrician from A&E came and gave us a sort of an hour's presentation on issues to do with youth and gang violence. And we spent an hour being told about how she'd sewn up knife wounds, dealt with gunshot wounds, showed us the tags of which the gangs wear, and some of their names, the NPK, the Northumberland Park Killers. And then extraordinary at the end of this, turned round and said, I believe in the ultimate goodness of human beings. You just think, I can't see how those things are true. You've just spent an hour telling us about the violence that is on our streets, of which people are being murdered the record numbers this year in London for a long time. And you're telling me you believe in the ultimate goodness of human beings? We need the Holy Spirit, don't we, to come and convict the world of righteousness, because Jesus the light has gone back to heaven to open the way to the Father. We live in a culture that thinks we're good. We need the Spirit to come and show that we are unrighteous, facing eternal wrath, but can be saved by the grace of a loving God. Finally, going to convict about judgment, for Satan is condemned. Verse 11, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will prove the world to be wrong about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Judgment, of course, is something our world does not like to talk about. Even in our churches, we don't like to talk about it, but the Bible's clear, Jesus will return. He is coming back and there will be a day of reckoning. But John's Gospel is also clear. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. So John 12, here it is. Now is the time for judgment on this world, says Jesus. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. As Jesus goes and dies on the cross, taking the consequences for human sin, he defeats Satan. There will be a judgment. And on that final day, the question will be, has Jesus died and paid the price? Or will we face it ourselves? And the wonderful news is it's the Holy Spirit that will come and convict people of their wrong thinking. Because people live, they're thinking there is no judgment. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. Isn't that our world? It doesn't think about judgment. They think there's any consequences in life to come. And yet the Holy Spirit will come and do that work. As those disciples are sitting there in grief, fearful about the fact that Jesus is going to give them a task to testify to him, isn't this a wonderful comfort? They go out into what seems a hostile world, but the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin and their unbelief in Jesus. It will prove the world wrong about their thinking they're righteous when they are not. It will prove the world wrong about judgment, for Satan is defeated and judgment will come. So three pieces of little application for all of us this morning. Firstly, be confident in evangelism. This is great encouragement, isn't it? Just as that Mission Week speaker reminded us back 2005 when I was on Sheffield CU. We can go in confident to speaking about Jesus because it's the Spirit will do the work. That is not our role. Even the most hard-hearted of our friends can come to faith in Jesus because it's the Spirit that does the work. It is him who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Secondly, does this not encourage us to be devoted to prayer? See, if it's the Spirit's work, let's call and ask the Spirit to do a work in the lives of our friends and family and neighbours and community. Philip mentioned chatting with my dad. So Friday night, for pray 16, the hour I was leaving, I said, let's just pray for this. Let's pray for six dads to be there on Saturday. And the Lord gave us six dads. They all came last time. But we're going to trust and pray and keep praying that the Lord will do a work. Finally, expect the Spirit to be of work. Be expectant of the Spirit. I'd just like to end with another quote from John's Gospel. This is a famous story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus says this about the work of the Spirit. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. It's the same thing he's been teaching his disciples in the upper room, isn't it? No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they've been born again by the Spirit. And the Spirit, like the wind, blows where it pleases. We don't know who God is going to bring to faith in this place. But we do know the Spirit will take our words as we speak of Jesus and convict hearts. And so we can be expectant that as we make every effort we can this Christmas to tell of the good news of Jesus Christ, we can pray, trust the Spirit at work, confident in speaking, devoted in prayer, and expectant. Wouldn't that be an encouraging way for each of us to go into this Christmas season? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that we have the privilege of being involved with this task of yours of bringing together people from every tribe and tongue and nation to worship you. And Father, please give us right expectations of evangelism. Help us to be confident in speaking those, your Spirit that does the convicting. Help us to be devoted in prayer, trusting you to be at work. And Father, we ask that you might be gracious and that we might be expecting that you might call many in this community, friends, family, colleagues, neighbours, to know the saving love of Jesus this Christmas. Amen.